are not necessarily those of KFAI or its board of directors. My name is Sam, I'm the host of this show. Charlene Dahl is my research person. Aaron is my podcaster. We are at Disability and Progress at samjasmine.com if you want to chat or bring new topics to the table. Today we were speaking with Dr. Christopher Warlick. Dr. Warlick was talking about prostate cancer. This is KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and KFAI.org. Thanks so much for listening.
Fresh Air Community Radio is KFAI FM Minneapolis, St. Paul, online and archived at KFAI.org, the community's true voice.
Listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org, non-commercial community-powered radio. Welcome to Fresh Fruit, the nation's longest-running weekly queer radio show. I'm your co-host, Alfred Walking Bull, along with Malcolm Lee.
Is this thing on? Because I don't know if I can hear anybody. Or anything.
It is.
Oh, okay, I can see the little dot thing. Okay, hi everybody.
And Comrade Tom.
Hey! Happy holidays.
Happy.
Oh.
Oh.
Indeed. So while we're ironing out technical difficulties.
You know what?
Shout out to Anna and Corny for listening.
Yes, or user error.
It sounded like you said,
what did I say?
What did we say? Alfred.
Something, Anna and Corny. And Corny.
Oh, it's like you said one person.
I was like, who's
Ann
Corny?
Ann Corny.
Anna and Courtney. Ann
Corny.
Yes, fans. Oh, and Eric, too.
Ah, love you, Eric.
Yes, Eric, too.
Yes. We're adding you to the script, too, Eric.
Well, anyway, what are we peeps up to? Wow, I guess I'm starting since I'm the first name up there.
Yeah, what are you up to,
Malcolm? Put me on the spot. Anyway.
Will do.
So, here we go. So, first thing is that, as always, traveling for the holidays. I guess I should be recording this like I'm at home, or because just as everybody knows, we're recording this episode before.
Pre-recording.
We're pre-recording. So, technically, while you're listening to this, I will be on the East Coast in Jersey and New York City. So, that's what my plan is, and Eric is coming with me. So
aww.
My family for the first time. This is his first time going to New York City.
Wow.
I know.
Everyone
crazy.
Everyone gets their first time.
I feel like everyone just needs to date you, Malcolm, and we'll all get to go to New York.
To date me or get to
I've
know
never
me
been.
And we'll go to New York. I haven't dated you.
I know.
Never will.
He's been crying buckets about it ever since.
Have you really, Tom?
No, I can't cry buckets because I have holes in my bucket, so they're just leaking out.
Dear Eliza, you got a hole in your bucket.
You got a hole in your bucket, and then I'll leak in. Okay, but anyway, yes. So that's what I'm doing.
Traveling for the holidays.
I'm traveling for the holidays. Doing it. And also, we're trying to figure out what Broadway show to see. Because, you know me, I think I've seen... not all of them. But I think I've seen about 20 Broadway shows in my lifetime. Because I lived right across the river. Mm-hmm. So I did ask him. I did ask Eric what he wanted to see. And he said... No, he did not say The Lion King. He said Moulin Rouge, Chicago, or Death Becomes Her.
Very nice.
And I wouldn't mind seeing Death Becomes Her again. I already saw Death Becomes Her, and that was really good.
They're still doing Moulin Rouge and the other place?
Yeah, and Chicago is like the longest running musical, I think, in Broadway
It's Beat Cats.
I think it's Beat Cats. Wow.
But not Oh Mary?
Oh Mary just started.
No, I'm saying he doesn't want to see Oh Mary.
I'll see if I can convince him to see that. It's a play. It's not a musical.
That's true.
It's supposed to be funny.
Very funny. Yes.
And I think Jane Krakowski, who hosts, you know, Name That Tune, is Mary Todd Lincoln now.
Yes.
She is funny. So, but oh, no, we'll see. Also, a lot of TV watching. I got to thank you guys because Pluribus, dude. People, if you're not watching Pluribus, you stop living under a rock, okay? It's one of those crazy shows where... No, he didn't, because I hear you loud and clear.
Yes. Oh. Perfectly fine.
Oh.
But anyway, that was funny. It's like, did you cut me off? No, I hear you.
It's
great. Yeah, it's wonderful. Fine. Happy holidays!
Anyway, but you enjoyed Pluribus?
Pluribus is great. Mm-hmm. It's a great show. I've caught up. I've watched this past week's episode as well. If people don't know the premise, there has been sort of a quote-unquote invasion in the world. Mm-hmm. And everybody is happy and wants to help each other, except for 12 people. Mm-hmm. And you learn a lot about those 12 people, especially one where,
The angry white lady.
The angry white lady. But... She's
I would
funny,
be right there with her.
Sassy, angry white lady. Mm-hmm. Well, then there's also the guy from Paraguay. Mm-hmm. So,
yes.
I suppose it feels like an exercise in what would a Karen be if she was the only one left on Earth?
Well, she's not a Karen.
I don't think she's a Karen.
No, she's just like.
True.
She's just unhappy.
She's just unhappy. Mm-hmm. I mean, when the event occurred, okay, we don't want to give everything away, but a big thing happened. Mm-hmm. So obviously she's not going to be happy because that.
And she has a reason to feel unhappy. Her wife died.
Okay, that is what I was trying not to give away.
Well,
it's the first episode.
Oh my God, people.
That's the first episode.
I apologize.
By the way, Boots is about gay people.
And it's not coming
giving
back.
Giving away the first episode.
And
it's
not coming
gay
back.
People. Good.
It's not coming. What?
Same with Heated Rival.
Wow. Oh my God, you didn't like Boots?
I never watched Boots.
They had a... What the hell? But Heated Rivalry. Oh my God, this last week's episode 5. Mm-hmm. I knew that was gonna happen.
I didn't. I have not seen any of it, but I'm.
What is wrong with you people?
I watched.
We're just
the first
gay,
half
but not
of,
that gay.
Yeah, we're like we have sex with other gay people, other queer people, but like we're not in the fan club.
Maybe they just have sex with their hands, people. I'm so sorry.
I don't get it.
It's just like my hands, my best friend. Anyway, Heated Rivalry. Watch that too. You know, it's about the.
I watched the first half of the first episode.
Disgusting. Moving on. Why'd you say you watched this whole season? Did you watch the whole season of Welcome to Derry?
No.
Oh, okay. I was about
Me
to
neither.
Say. You haven't either. Okay. If you can survive the clown. If you're not afraid of clowns, I know a lot of people that are not. Sorry, but Welcome to Derry. That was a really good show.
Mm-hmm.
Very good season. So,
Killer Clown in a Cornfield is a delightful movie too.
Killer Clown.
Is that the name of the movie?
Yeah, yeah. It's done by the guy who did Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Oh, okay.
So it's very funny.
Well, that's
it's hilarious.
That's great. That's wonderful.
The clowns are just everywhere.
Have you ever watched Killer Clowns from Outer Space?
I want to say I have, but
the ones that get shot in the nose, that's how you kill them.
Whoa, okay, now I have to watch that.
Oh my God, you haven't seen it?
Well, I would have remembered that factoid if I had.
I saw it when I was a kid.
Yes, you have to shoot him in the nose in order for him to die.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
That is amazing. Then they also did a hand puppet of, like, they do a hand shadow of a dinosaur, and the dinosaur eats people. And the way that they survive is that they stick a straw into this, like, big cocoon of the people that they caught, and they drink and they slurp.
Wow.
That's how they survive.
Okay, I really do need to see
I cannot that. Believe you've never
Killer
seen
Clowns
that.
From Outer Space.
Killer Clowns it's from Outer classic. Space. It's mm-hmm. a cult classic, and it's a holiday movie. Mm-hmm. No, it ain't. All right, but that's about it. But yeah, but no, I did type as the last thing is boots.
Surprise. It's on Netflix, isn't it?
Could not deal with it.
I thought it was a wonderfully done show, but I guess Netflix
Well,
it's
because
didn't
Ryan
so.
Murphy didn't do it.
Oh!
Wow. Whoa.
That is true.
Whoa.
That is true. Whoa. Hey, I'll say it.
The tea is
Don't
hot.
Have Ryan Murphy touch it.
Uh-huh. He'll screw it up.
Except for American Horror Story, because you can't really screw it up. But anyway.
All right. He finds a way.
He finds a way, though.
It goes limp by episode 4.
Mm-hmm.
That is true. But I did like Roanoke House. Mm-hmm. That one was good. Roanoke House, 1984. That was really good.
I didn't.
That
I couldn't
how
even.
Many years ago now,
right? And I couldn't even get through the last one because it was like, and now let's bring Kim Kardashian. I was like, why?
Is that the 1984 one? No, the New York one.
Yeah.
Both of them together. Sorry.
I couldn't even. I could mm-hmm. not.
I watched the first two episodes and it was interesting at first, but then I was like, no, I'm done. Although mm-hmm. I think Coven's coming back.
Oh.
Because all the ladies are coming back.
Balenciaga!
Including Jessica Lange. What? Okay. Gabby's coming back.
Do you have any, last words?
Kathy Bates, done.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any last words?
Balenciaga! Balenciaga! Okay, sorry. Anyway. And that is what's going on with me. Tom!
I mean, how am I supposed to follow up with that?
Mm-hmm.
Talking.
Whoa. Wow. Is that what people say? Is that what you tell people every time they come on stage after you get off?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm like, just talk.
Talkity talk, talk, talk. School's out. Not forever, though.
For the winter.
You mm-hmm. survived your first semester in grad
yes,
school.
Yes, how was it? Congratulations.
It was easier than I expected.
Okay. Did you get your grades?
No, they were supposed to have it all in yesterday or, the 18th or the 19th. Yeah. And I still have not seen a posting for two of my classes.
Ooh,
and they were
good.
Like, one was a one credit course. It's like, you didn't have much work to do to begin with.
Whoa.
They only had two assignments to grade.
Sounds like a grad student to me.
Sounds like a wonderful grad student.
Look.
How hard could it be?
My education is lessened because young people who don't know how to write papers, who don't know how to study, who don't know how to live are allowed to be grad students.
Well, they do know AI. Because so
the teachers was like, I was like, it's weird that I'm writing this paper for 6 weeks and I got to do two drafts of it before submitting the final paper. I was like, oh, and then Dr. Sheree was like, it's because they don't know what to do. The young people don't know how to write papers, and they're
it's
like,
true.
You can't expect much of them anymore.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Yeah. See, I would understand if that were an undergrad. I'd be like, yeah. Okay.
Right. Right. Like, to make them suffer.
A graduate. No. This is the point of grad school. It's to form you.
Yeah. I think people need to understand if you go into grad school, you're going to be writing papers, no matter what area you get into, even if it's like management, if it's accounting or whatever. You're going to write papers of reflections, and you need to know how to write a paper.
Right.
That's just
but
the nature
also,
of it.
What's that phrase?
The je ne sais quoi.
No, what's the point of a paper anymore? Because AI can write everything.
Like, that is so annoying.
What is the point of a paper? It's why I do presentations if I get the option.
The
because
point
I'm
of
like,
the paper is to illustrate that you have a command knowledge of the subject material and you have a command of the English language and you can properly communicate yourself to an audience in a written format.
So you're saying reinforcement of white supremacy?
Not white supremacy.
You sound like you're from the 80s.
Yeah, I was educated by people. Yeah, I was educated, you know, in the 80s.
That was the 80s and the
90s. In the
80s. And that was the point.
That is the point. It is, you know, to communicate.
Yes,
it is
before
to communicate.
Before we had it, technology.
Was a technology. The written form is a technology.
We switched over to computers when I got into high school. I mostly typed, you know, I knew a typewriter, had the autocorrect stuff on the typewriter.
Look, here's the thing. Writing has always been a thing in culture. So, like,
right. Yes.
I have a Substack, and every time I talk to people, they're like, I love what you wrote yesterday. I'm like, thank you. It required thought, and it required a command of the English language, and then they pay me for it. So that is the purpose of writing.
Look, wow. I use Whisper AI now. It's just so I can dictate my papers because...
Is that like ASMR?
No.
AI?
<I'm sorry. laughs> No, but...
I gotta type this word.
Basically, it's really good voice dictation. So... It's really great. It, like, if you're like in thought, it knows that you're in thought, and so like
see, that
rewrites.
Type of stuff scares me. Don't be in my brain.
It's thought.
Oh.
And then they spit it out for you. It's not perfect because there are definitely some moments where I paused and stopped and was like, oh, but like, you know, for old people who have hand problems, it's beautiful.
Indeed. Yes.
You know, it's an accessibility issue.
Right. Recorder.
Opportunity.
Here's my concern with accessibility. I think it's great. I think we should be doing it. The problem...
Just not for everyone?
Well, the problem with accessibility is making everything accessible.
Then it's not accessible.
Well, no.
For everyone.
The thing about like making everything accessible is then everyone finds an excuse to have a disability.
No.
I don't know.
Uh-huh. No.
How many more diagnoses?
You think people just want to take every,
how many more diagnoses of ADHD have happened because we have made it easier? How many more diagnoses? I'm not trying to be an ableist, but like it's the thing
you
that
you are. It's your thing.
It's that like yeah, but like sometimes you just have to suffer through something. Sometimes it is not going to be pleasant. And like that's so my ableism
or my ableism is valid.
No. I'm saying that like no, what I'm saying is that like the accessibility
did
that
you just
we
prove your point?
No, the accessibility that we design is for white people. And so when we are like I don't know any black or brown disabled people who are having the same like accessibility that didn't happen on the reservation where I grew up. And so like okay, so like now we're just making it easier for white people to not feel uncomfortable in any way, shape, or form. So when we wrestle with racism and sexuality and gender identity, they're preloaded to be like,
everyone,
I feel
Alfred
this uncomfortable.
Says there's a hierarchy of oppression, race is at the top.
I didn't say that it was.
That is what you just said.
It just seems that they're, that you all prefer
people
the
with
hierarchy.
Disability are down on the bottom.
Indeed.
Well, I just noticed a lot of people parking in those handicap spots now. It's been ticking me off.
I mean, park in the handicap spot. Park in the pickup lanes.
Well, we have the tag. That's why I'm just like saying. In the pickup. Oh. Wow. Park in the pickup lanes.
There's no legal
the
requirement.
What about the birthing mother spot? Uh-huh.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, my
There's
God.
There's no legal requirement for you not to park
How
there.
How dare You're, you take
how
that
dare
spot?
How dare you?
They are pregnant.
Uh-huh.
I mean, sure, the pregnant women love it. That'd be great.
Of course they
but
do.
But veterans,
how
why?
Dare they?
How dare
they? Literally are honored for their physicality. Like, make them walk.
You don't.
Wow.
Well, indeed.
All right. So
anyway.
The next. So okay.
It's
now
the
you
year
gotta
of
get
the wood snake. Tom.
Yeah. What
yeah.
is that?
What is this about?
It's the year of the wood. Yeah. What is that?
Well, in the Chinese zodiac, it's the year of the snake or the wood snake.
Oh, so now you're appropriating Chinese culture. Cool.
No, someone said it once, and I was like, and they're like,
was this person Chinese?
Look, at least I know where it came from. I'm not saying it's my culture or my people. I'm just saying
I'm just kidding.
It's a
I'm
thing I know about the world, and so everyone is just shedding stuff.
Shedding.
Mm-hmm. You know, people, home.
I hear you.
It's like America. It's
That's
going through its shedding season.
It's shedding season.
Shedding season.
Like the idea of just like letting go, moving on, sloughing off literal
skin. Speaking of shedding, Zootopia 2 was awesome. Okay, moving on. Because the snake sheds, and that's how they find this. Anyway. It's great. It's a great movie. It's wonderful. I think it's better than the first one.
Zootopia.
Alfred. Zootopia.
Yes.
All right, Alfred. Let's how about on. You? What's going on with you? Because there's been a lot of going on with you. Is there?
I mean, there's.
I'm sure you want to express your feelings over one.
My friend Beth lost her special primary election in St. Paul for SD64A. So. Congratulations to Meg Luger Nikolai. There we go. I got it right. So, it's from The West Wing. The character's name is Marion Coatsworth Hay, and CJ Craig says, Helena Hodsworth Hooter Tooter.
Oh my
it's,
God.
Uh huh. It's mm-hmm. okay. It's a deep cut.
Not many
people would know
funny.
That. But yeah. So
I kind of figured that's what it was about. Like
Helena Hodsworth Hooter Tooter.
When I found out that the union, the teachers union supported the other person, I was okay.
Which is, I mean, it's how we do our politics in Minnesota, is that the union-backed candidate usually wins. Yeah. And that's great for the union. I think that's wonderful for the union. I know personally that Beth is a lot more progressive than a lot of union-backed candidates, and the votes reflected that in the district. It's not a progressive district. So, did every, as the only queer candidate in the race, she was very clear. Like, people would message in, and they were like, what is your position on Palestine? She's like, I don't want my tax dollars going to fund genocide. And they'd be like, oh, my. I'm like, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well,
so.
There you go.
But also, unions are inherently conservative.
They are.
They're designed to hold things back.
Mm-hmm. If it's not good for the members, they're not going to do it.
Right.
So it's why the unions and the environmentalists have a showdown every 2 to 4 years at the state convention, because the environmentalists don't want mining in the Arrowhead or anywhere in the Iron Range, and the unions are like, we want our people to have jobs, and they all fight to a draw.
Pretty much.
Can't we all just get along?
There's never any meaningful platform policy that happens at the state convention, because they all fight to a draw. The environmentalists fight to the draw and the unions fight to the draw.
I mean, if we convert them to farmers, we could secede from the union and let Trump be in his own little world. That'd be nice. But I don't know if the miners want to be farmers. Or if they'd be any good at it, or if there'd even be land to farm up there.
Why do miners want to be miners anyway? Seriously, why does miners want to be why?
Yeah,
it's
fine.
One of the most dangerous, very against your health, your lungs,
but
everything.
But it's masculine.
You know, I don't
so
care.
Back to me.
Oh no, trust me, I know West Virginia. Trust me, I dated someone from West Virginia. I known all of them. They were all miners, coal miners, and I said, "Why?"
It's a cult.
I know. It is a cult.
So back
it
to me.
It seriously is.
Yeah. What else?
But back to Alfred. What else is going on?
I am 1 month into my new home. In South Powderhorn. It's wonderful. South Powderhorn.
Someone in South Minneapolis?
No, South Powderhorn. I told someone where I live, and they're like, oh, Bancroft. And I was like, no, South Powderhorn. I know. It is a distinction that doesn't have a distinction, but it is.
A distinction without a difference?
On the map, it is the southern edge of Powderhorn neighborhood.
Oh.
So I like.
Well, is it bordered with Bancroft?
Well,
yes.
By
hook or by crook, I'll get my land back.
Oh, wow.
Anyway.
South Powderhorn.
Yes.
So what about Wolf Parade?
Yeah. I am so excited. I'm so excited. So, everyone's been oohing and aahing over heated rivalry. And I've seen the commentary from the sidelines. And I am genuinely unimpressed with cishet. Muscular men just going at it. I'm like, that's what pornography is for. Like that's what OnlyFans is for. That's what, and I, from all the clips, I was like, yeah, it's softcore porn.
But they're hockey players.
Indeed. And
hockey players have to be that physically fit.
That they're actors.
But I understand that they're actors,
not
but
actually,
at the same
you
time.
Know that, right? You
I do.
You have a master's degree,
time.
So I would assume that you knew that they were actors.
Well,
playing
you have
a role.
Some type of degree, and I hope you understood that that's how hockey players are supposed to look like.
Indeed.
Because it's hockey.
Indeed.
But no, I know that they're actors and everything. But
anyway,
go on.
I just generally, it's fine. It's, I mean, it, like, I'm glad that, and, like, there was one criticism by a gay actor who then, like, withdrew it because he got backlashed because he was like, queer people don't have sex like that.
Oh, I did see that, and I'm like...
He was like, no, they don't have sex like that. And I was like, yeah, no, I saw the first half of the first episode, and I was like, oh, that's, oh, okay, yeah. There were no queer people involved in, like the intimacy coaching. And I was like, it's cute. It may be how we all figured it out, but, like, no.
Well, then I guess my hard-on isn't valid then.
Wow.
Because in my opinion... When I'm watching it and it happens,
it's perfectly fine.
Then I'm saying to myself,
"No, I oh, sorry.
Yay!" Sorry, so I mean, is that is
sorry?
Like...
That, so I read it. So what I am experiencing it as is, it is through the, because who wrote the original of, like, oh, this is a romance, and I was like, oh, sure, and it was of the time that, like, it set in. It was like 2008, right? Or something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah, so we were still very much like, publicly we're monogamous. Publicly we're fighting for marriage, and publicly we're all monogamous. And, like, actual queer people at the time were like, okay.
Rachel Reeves.
Okay, yeah.
Rachel Reeves.
Right, so it has, like, so what it feels like is that, like, oh, right, this is how the heteronormative gay experience looks like to people who are not on the inside. So anyway, That was the critique, and, like, oh. I think it's fine. It's very sweet. It's very well done, and, like, I didn't really care until I saw the clip of, like, the ending of episode 5, but that was only because of the music, because I love Wolf Parade, and I was like, I know that song. I haven't heard that song on a broadcast in 20 years.
Oh, okay.
20 years. Uh-huh. You're not even 20 years old.
No. No, they're...
Wolf Parade is... Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Tom is like, whoa.
Here's something that I'm going to... from the internet that I'm going to share with all of you and all of you at home. I'm older than Google.
We know that.
Uh-huh.
But not older than dirt.
Don't look it up.
We already know that.
Indeed.
We don't have to look it up. We know
you
that.
You mean the Alphabet Company?
Yes, the Alphabet Company.
I'm older than Google.
So it seems fine.
I think I'm older than Best Buy.
I'm not crazy about the racial politics of the Asian character being the bottom, but that's...
Why is there politics of that?
Because Asians have...
There was one episode where he was the top. It just wasn't
okay.
shown.
Okay.
Because the Russian guy did say, uh-huh. I want you, or the Asian did say, I want to F you or whatever.
Uh-huh.
He did. So it did. It happened in context.
It wasn't on the camera. Asian folk that I know who are male bodied. There is this constant, like, assumption that they're all bottoms.
Oh.
Yes. Because of the Western gaze of thinking that Asians are submissive people.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And have feminized faces.
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yes. It is a... So that's what I'm not crazy about, but, like, it's whatever. It's not for me.
It's for the straight ladies.
It's for the straight ladies to be like, oh.
I did not realize
gay that. People are people, too.
Gay people are people, too.
And
we
on
just
that
like
note.
To taste other things. Anyway.
Let's take a break.
On that note, we'll be right back. Terrible. Terrible.
Okay.
Your voice. Support for KFAI comes from First Avenue, presenting the Twins of Franklin at the Turf Club Thursday, January 8th. Becky Shaheen and Laura Lou Duchesne aren't twins, but together, their harmonies might make you think so. Indie folk rockers, the Twins of Franklin take the Turf Club stage with their latest release, This Life. It's indie rock that also embraces Americana, roots, and folk. Opening the show are Katie Tessman and the Turnbuckles and the Gated Community. More information about the Twins of Franklin at the Turf Club is available at first-avenue.com. Support for KFAI comes from the Cedar Cultural Center, presenting Zach Baker, Saturday, January 17th. This show will celebrate the release of Zach's new album, Don't Worry About Me. His style brings together indie pop, piano pop, pop punk, musical theater, emo, and more. Zach Baker is a multi-talented storyteller with a knack for telling emotionally resonant, detailed narratives, whether through his music or his writing. Opening the show is Polstering and Afters. More information about Zach Baker's album release show is available at thecedar.org.
Welcome back to Fresh Fruit. The
Welcome
nation.
Back, bitches.
Welcome back. Welcome back.
That's awesome.
Yeah, welcome back to Fresh Fruit. The nation's longest running weekly queer radio show. I'm your co-host, Alfred Walkenblatt, here with Malcolm Lee.
Best Buy is older than I am. Mm-hmm. 1966.
Mm-hmm. And Comrade Tom.
Hello. Welcome.
It was a genuine slip of the tongue.
It was cool. Welcome, Black. Let's have some Black people listen to this, shall we? Mm-hmm. Appreciate mm-hmm. it.
I mean, you do, but we're on.
I'm on the show. I want other.
You get a recruit.
You do.
It's true.
You fill the quota, Malcolm.
Wow.
Wait. Uh-huh. Is that what I said?
I haven't heard that before. Anyway, mm-hmm. moving on to some pop culture, you know, I got to hand it to Tom.
You're welcome.
And he did, and you wanting to do this actually do point something out. Mm-hmm. We got to give more props to our lesbian peoples. Mm-hmm. You know, because lesbian are people too in our community. So they are the first letter. Mm-hmm. Unless you want to do two, then two S's.
Unless you want to be homophobic and be GLBT.
Ooh.
Word. Calling out the olds.
According to LGBTQ Nation, they did an article on the 10 lesbian Christmas movies that will add some sapphic cheer to your holiday. I thought sapphic was a bad word at first. I was like, can we say this?
Yes.
But sapphic is a good word. So.
Sapphic.
Have you, now, it'd be funny
from
if any
the
of us
Isle
watch these.
Of Sapphos, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, Sapphos was a poet.
Poet. Ah.
I thought you said Zappos like the shoes.
No, and the island is Lesbos.
Oh. Yeah. I got it backwards.
Okay, got it.
Indeed.
So the first one is a firefighter's Christmas calendar. Mm-hmm. You know, when I hear that, I'm thinking firefighter's Christmas calendar. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not thinking lesbian firefighter's Christmas calendar, but supposedly this is a good one on the Lifetime channel. Mm-hmm. So enjoy. Just in time for the holidays, the Lifetime channel has released this story about Danny Reed, a lesbian firefighter who spearheads a, quote, holiday heroes fundraiser to help her community, her local community during the winter. So. And she gets closer to her dad and sister, as well as charming photographer named Sasha.
Sasha.
Hey, like, Sasha.
There's so much sex in that name.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. It really is. You know, like, mm-hmm. Sasha.
And they're mm-hmm. right in front of a spiral staircase. It's delightful.
Yeah, they are. Oh, there's no pole?
No.
Oh, it's
no.
a spiral staircase. Uh-huh. See, they put a spiral staircase, people, not mm-hmm. the flagpole.
Exactly.
Because you know we have the flagpole.
Inclusive.
We can go next. Up and down.
Last
Xmas.
E-X-M-A-S.
Rich girl Maggie and her middle class ex, Julianne, underwent a bitter breakup when they broke up in high school. Ooh, high school.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
But when they crossed paths during the holiday in the small hometown, it seems like they might still harbor feelings for one another. But this rom-com gets even more complicated when Maggie's more recent ex, Vi
shows up.
Mm-hmm. That's just
sultry. Yeah, that Vi is another sex name.
Mm-hmm. Vi?
Yeah.
Vi.
Vi. Mm-hmm. No, I think of Aunt Vi. I think of like an aunt name.
I can see that.
Not lesbian.
Mixed Christmas from 2023.
Ooh, hey!
Speaking of Welcome Black.
Welcome Black people! Mm-hmm. Okay. Double booked, double the drama. Ooh, that's their tagline.
Mm-hmm.
Snow and cold can make New York dreamy during the holidays. That's why Aurora and her three best friends book a holiday getaway in Miami, Florida. But when they discover that Aurora's ex-girlfriend has been inadvertently scheduled in the same Airbnb, they have to make the best of a messy situation.
So messy.
Low-budget comedy is one of the few lesbian Christmas movies to feature a predominantly Black cast and a wide range of lesbian stock characters.
With a twist ending.
Hey, oh my goodness.
There are pancakes. They're not done until they're cooked on both sides.
Wow. Christmas with Love, 2022 is the next movie.
When Broadway actress Becca returns to Tennessee for Christmas, she crosses paths with her old high school girlfriend, Sam, who now works as a bartender.
Aww.
The two now lead very different lives, but their mothers still think they could make a sizzling pair.
Mothers know.
Mm-hmm. If they could only work out their differences. Even better, this one is one of the few lesbian Christmas movies to feature a musical number.
This is a musical!
Mm-hmm. Musical numbers.
Multiple.
Plural. Oh my goodness.
Christmas at the ranch. Mm-hmm. Gay men.
That's the next one.
Gay men have Brokeback Mountain. And for a while, lesbian women had even cowgirls get the blues.
Yeah.
But anyone wanting some lesbian cowgirl action should pony up to this rural romantic drama about Haley, a woman who returns to her hometown to save her family ranch. She ends up meeting Kate, a lonely ranch hand, who has asked Santa Claus for a girlfriend. Can the two save things by Christmas?
You know they can. You know they will.
They're lesbians with a plan.
I mean, they have a plan. No. Mm-hmm. They already plan out their wedding, their marriage, the kids.
They already they come pre... No.
We love our lesbians. You know we're joking because you guys talk about gay people all the time, calling us sluts. I don't want to hear it. Happiest season, 2020, when Harper, butch heartthrob Kristen Stewart. She's a butch heartthrob?
Apparently.
Okay. Yeah. I did not... Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Go on, butchie. Invites her girlfriend, Abby... to visit her family's home for Christmas. She reveals at the last minute that she's not actually out to her family and would like Abby to pretend to be her roommate instead of her romantic partner. Don't you hate those?
It was 2020.
While that setup would send most sensible adults running for the hills, it provides a chance for Harper and Abby to see whether they're truly right for each other. Plus... Oh, queer actors Aubrey Plaza and Dan Levy join in the comedic Christmas chaos. Oh, I would love to see this.
Wow. It's on Hulu.
It's on Hulu.
Happiest season.
With Butchie
Kristen Stewart.
Okay. Who knew? Who knew? Anyway.
A New York Christmas Wedding 2020. The Christmas classic It's a Wonderful Life examines how one man's community would suffer if he were never born. This film takes a somewhat similar sapphic twist by examining how one woman's life would change if she had ended up with her same-sex crush rather than her current male fiancé. Even better, this lesbian Christmas movie includes a queer black protagonist and a magical gay angel who says wishes can't come true.
Wow.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wow. Well, we have a magical gay angel. Mm-hmm. You know it's Billy Porter. Anyway, you gotta love him. Okay, Seasons of Love, 2019, go!
Oh, this sapphic stocking stuffer.
That is such an alliteration. Sapphic stocking stuffer.
Comes with not one, but three lesbian stories.
That's
including one involving a deaf lesbian. Making up for Alfred. Another with two long-distance lovers, and a third left standing at the altar when her groom-to-be gets cold feet. It's a cheesy affair, to be sure, but this lesbian Christmas movie has plenty of happy endings to keep the holiday bright.
Oh my goodness.
It's like Lesbian Love Actually.
Oh, God. One better not be fat. Jesus.
Terrible.
Courtney
terrible.
Will go crazy.
Courtney will just let him have it with both barrels.
Not fat. Anyway, okay, I didn't realize this was a Christmas movie. I've seen this movie. Carol.
It's a classic.
I like the movie, but I didn't realize it was a Christmas movie.
Yes,
but okay.
It's Carol Day.
Beautifully directed by gay filmmaker Todd Haynes. I knew he was gay. This lesbian Christmas movie is based on the 1952 romance novel, The Price of Salt, by lesbian writer Patricia Highsmith. In it, photographer Therese crosses paths with Carol, a glamorous woman whose contentious hetero separation and child custody battle could be complicated if the courts discover that she's a lesbian. While the film's 1950s anti-gay setting provides a wistful atmosphere of dangerous longing, Carol is probably the most mainstream and big budget drama in the list of lesbian Christmas movies. I agree, because I don't know that these other ones.
I
like that.
I have not seen Carol.
Oh!
Look, you haven't seen most of these, but this is the one you've seen.
Yes.
Because it's the big budget. It is Kate Blanchett. What's wrong with you?
So the
it was
the,
2015. I was going through a lot.
The flirting with Therese. I like that. And she just like stares and she's like, huh.
Wow. That is all 10 movies.
No. Eight Wait. Women from 2002. This is one of my favorites. This is one of my
oh,
very favorites.
Still more.
Yes, it's French. It's very.
It's very.
If you're looking for some musical mystery fun this holiday season, look no further. This comedic French gem features eight women snowbound in their family mansion. Who must figure out who done it when the family patriarch ends with a literal knife in his back? Each woman has plenty of secrets and motives, and things get even crazier when characters start bursting out into song.
This is a musical?
Whoa. Yes, it's so good.
Do they sing in French?
They do. The movie is called Huit Femmes in French.
Oh, yeah.
Wheat Farm. And it's so great. It has everybody. It has like Catherine Deneuve. It has.
Ooh, it has Catherine Deneuve?
Uh huh. Like every French actress you can imagine.
I do know
is
Catherine
in there.
Deneuve. Mm-hmm. That's really great. Cool.
And Fanny Ardant. Fanny Ardant. Oh my God, I love Fanny Ardant. She plays the old maid spinster aunt who I deeply feel a connection with. And then in the middle of it, she breaks into, oh God, I can't, it's not a Jacques Brel song, but it's like a chanson song. And she plays it on the piano. She takes her glasses off and she sings about her love and then cries and then puts her glasses back on and then she becomes a spinster aunt again.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. It's so good.
Did they sing any Edith Piaf?
Piaf.
Piaf?
Mm-hmm.
Whoops.
It's
not the
rice.
Dish.
Sorry. It's not a rice dish, Tom.
Sorry, Frenchie.
Edith Piaf. I am mad at you. That was funny.
Uh-huh.
But I have to admit, if I was young, like in my younger years, I probably would have done the same thing. Like, Piaf. Not the rice, Malcolm. Anyway, okay. Well, there are your movies. I mean, go watch your lesbian love. Now,
keep the Yuletide queer with sapphic celluloid.
I just found out what sapphic means.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean, Malcolm?
Relating to sexual attraction or activity between women.
Women.
That
woman.
Assigned female at birth.
Yes, we're
there. We go. But I'm reading no
rest. It could be inclusive of anyway. The song could that be. She is performs is called Message Personnel, which is Personal Message by Françoise Hardy.
I want a personal massage.
Message.
Message, not massage. Okay, here's a question.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the highest grossing actor in 2025? I'll give you a hint. It's a gay person.
Jonathan Bailey.
Bailey!
I just don't get it.
I just don't see it.
I
don't know. I didn't know that.
I understand that other people find him attractive. I just don't see it personally.
I think he's charming. That's what it
sure.
is. He is this. People even gave him Sexiest Man Alive
mm-hmm.
for 2025. So congratulations on that. I mean, everybody has a different interpretation of what they think something sexy is. I will say that I find him charming.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does he fit the physique that I usually like? No.
Mm-hmm.
I like my men with meat. Like, he's very toned. You know, he has the muscles and everything. I probably vegetarian. Who knows?
You're like, I like the white and the dark meat.
I like the white and the dark meat, and I don't want it plump. But he
with
looks...
extra water.
Put that chicken broth in there anyway. But with but with him, it's just like, oh, my God, you're so... But I'm not knocking him. It's just that I have a preference, and okay, cool.
I recognize that he's attractive. I recognize that he's high paid and this, that, and the other, but I'm just like, I don't see why I should feel compelled to have sex with you. I don't. I don't. There's... As I say, I wouldn't kick him out of bed, but I wouldn't work hard to get him in it either.
Yeah, I get that.
I think that's for all of us. I think it's for all of us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like once you're in the bed, hey, you know, why
it's like
why
cold
waste,
pizza.
Why waste it? Right.
Mm-hmm. Why waste it?
It's
waste
like cold that? Fried chicken.
Oh,
here you go.
God. Yeah.
That's not wasted. Go down to the bone. Okay.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas. Anyway. Murphy and Mel B's kid comes out as trans, and of course they're accepting of them. Yes.
Well done.
Well done. Yes. Very.
I didn't even know Mel B and Eddie Murphy had a kid.
I am so mad at you right now. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that was a thing. Mm-hmm. But the Spice Girl culture like left me when I like got out of high school. Mm-hmm.
That was the one thing she fought for, you know, rights and royalties and all that. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it was messy at first because
rights and royalties to what?
To the Spice Girls. Yeah. It was the time of like the boy bands, like the record companies were trying to screw their talent out of all of their money.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. But yes, no, there was a little bit of conspiracy, like there was a scandal about it because I think I could be wrong, but I think Eddie Murphy denied it at first. And then the whole test thing and everything, and then obviously, hey, there's your baby. Mm-hmm. One of 10. He has 10 kids, I believe. Right. I mean, you have to watch I haven't watched the documentary yet, but he has a lot of kids, you know. Mm-hmm. But it is one. But he loves them. He takes care of all of them. I'm not knocking anybody that has that many kids. As long as you're taking care of them, that's what you wanted to do. That was your extracurricular activity. There you go.
I mean, keeping someone alive and loving them are two very different things.
True, and he's doing both.
Well, I'm sure.
Doing both. But no, thanks, congratulations.
Eddie. All right. Well, right. We will take this quick break and be back for the last 10 minutes. BRB.
Mm. Burb.
Support for KFAI comes from Crooner's Supper Club, presenting Cornbread Harris, Thursday, January 8th. A founding father of the Minneapolis Sound, Cornbread Harris takes the Crooner's main stage showroom with his six-piece backup band for a night of deeper blues. He'll be performing his unique mix of blues, jazz, ballads, and originals. More information about Cornbread Harris Live and Living Deeper Blues is available at croonersmn.com.
Because you ain't got nothing. Nothing to lose.
Welcome back to Fresh Fruit, the nation's longest running weekly queer radio show. I'm your co-host, Alfred Walking Bull, here with Malcolm Lee.
For all the acquaintance we forgot.
And Comrade Tom.
I feel like we should just be allowed to say welcome black every time. Like, that just feels appropriate.
Only if I stare at you and be like, welcome black.
Oh, you're going to do the pause too? Welcome, comma, black.
Look, they mean very different things.
Terrible. Terrible, Tom. I will not be doing that, Thomas.
Okay.
I will not be allowing you to pit us against each other.
Welcome,
whoa,
black.
That was not what I was meaning, to be fair.
Okay. No, we know what you mean. It was so funny.
I know.
So, what's going on with our neighbors, Alfred?
We are trying to keep them safe. We are trying to keep them safe in South Minneapolis, in Northeast Minneapolis, kind of. And
St. Paul.
Right, St. Paul, everywhere.
The metro.
Yeah, so if you see ice, say something. If you see something, say something. The current method of communication for folks is a whistle. And so if you can find a whistle anywhere, there are tons of organizations giving them out. But if you can go find yourself a whistle, any kind of whistle will do.
Why a whistle?
So when there is a confirmed coordinated ICE action, a lot of the times the cellular networks go down or have diminished capacity in the area. So like getting a text out or calling somebody or like sending a digital message doesn't always work. So,
I did not know that.
Yeah. So whistles.
Wow.
Yeah. So when you have, they learned this in Chicago and they learned this in Los Angeles.
That is so disturbing.
Yeah. So that's the thing. So if you have a whistle and you see ice and you want to say something, just blow loud, and there's a whole guide on the internet that you can look up on what different kinds of whistles mean, like different like lengths or what have you. But like, just get yourself a whistle. And Monarca is the organization, the hotline in Minneapolis, and for the state, but like it's the one that a lot of folks in Minneapolis know. Their number is 612-441-2881, and that is to get signed up for their rapid response. So if they get a confirmed sighting of ice or an ice event, and you're on the list, they will send out a text, you know, if you're wherever you with details, and you can go and be a reporter, but you should, or a witness, but you should also attend one of their trainings to know what to do, because what we know is that ICE is now just indiscriminately detaining people, regardless of whether they are and document what they're doing. So.
Oh yeah, you just have to be brown skin, honestly. Uh
huh.
That's all there is, because they tried to detain one of our students' uncle, and it's like he's Nigerian, not Somali. Like they were targeting Somalians. People.
Right.
If people have been paying attention to the news or remotely even trying to watch this idiot on TV, that's the target. That's the group that he's been targeting. But they mistakenly like went up to somebody who was Nigerian. Mm. So it was they just targeting anyone.
Right.
Whether you think that they have, you know, information, it's just bad. It's horrible. Mm-hmm. It's sad.
Yeah.
It's very sad. So there's that.
But we have the flip side is that like everyone that I have seen in my neighborhood has been like stepping up. So like there
true.
Are patrols, there are group chats, there are neighborhood groups, there are witnesses that like stand by the schools where the that are predominantly brown. Like I go by there almost every day, and there is at least one person on a corner with a whistle, just like making sure that you know. So like. The nice thing is that, like, oh, we're not alone. Mm-hmm. So there are people out there willing to step up. Yeah.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Since I work for the museum, Science Museum, we are basically, like, staff and people trying to, like, I mean, I'm not going to speak for the work, but, like, getting folks to private areas where ICE does not have public access to. Because of our youth programming that we run out of there and things like that. And we're like, do we put them in the shiny hallways? Because that's a private area. We've determined that the parking ramp is a private area.
Mm.
So ICE isn't, you know, right. ICE will be ICE and they will do everything to get, you know, to break the law and the rules. But
right.
Well, on a lighter note, unfortunately, we could talk about lighter sunset or anything, but on a lighter note, this is really cool. We're going to go straight to this news. Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs, we love you.
Mm-hmm.
She vetoed three anti-transgender bills that were passed by the state's Republican legislators. Though the bills passed largely along party lines, Republicans are unlikely to override Hobbs' veto since their numbers in the state House and Senate fall short of the required two-thirds majority votes needed to do so. Arizona is largely considered a red state despite voting for a Democratic president by slim majorities in two of the last 10 national elections. So, hats off to Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs.
Well done.
Thank you very much. And F you to those wonderful Republicans. Anyway, so on that note, final thoughts for 2025. Tom!
I mean, it's blank. You know, don't kill anyone. Don't buy a gun. If you know people who have guns, go steal it and turn it into the police and be like, I found this on the street.
There you go.
Yeah, to be safe.
Yes. Mine, I will say that I am going to be flipping over to the other half of the century in 2026. And it's kind of crazy. It's kind of exciting. It's kind of overwhelming all at once. And I got to say that even though it's been a crazy, tumultuous, totally... mostly negative feelings for all in our community, I will say that I will still have that glimmer of hope. I will still smile. I will still try to be goofy. I will still try to make people feel happy, welcomed, and respect all, and just live my life and look forward to the other half. And that is mine. Bye-bye, 2025. Come on, 2026.
Mm-hmm. Bravo. Indeed. And
what's your final thought?
My final thought is give me my land back.
Oh, my God.
As always, a group called the Minnesota Honor Tax, which sends your voluntary honor tax to a tribal nation in Minnesota. So that's a wonderful thing that you can do. Otherwise, help out. If you see ice, see something, say something, keep your